In the sanctuary, please, if you will. Before I give you the welcome, I'm going to kind of tell you about this Gideon card up here, okay? We have a display out there in the lobby over there by Sarah's office, and I'm going to explain to you real quickly what those are, okay? Gideons are a professional organization of Christian businessmen, and what we do is we share God's word, we pray for the lost, and we witness to the lost, okay? There's an opportunity out there. A lot of times when someone that we know passes away, we'll send flowers. Flowers are very temporal, okay? They're going to be gone in a short period of time. Suppose I could tell you that you could take and probably spend less of your money, present them with a memorial card like this one here, and give Bibles in their name that are going to go around the world in over 200 different countries that are printed in different languages that are going to be able to reach out there and pass God's word. Inside of this card, there's going to be a little envelope like this. You can either mail your card yourself. You can write in there if you want us to mail it. They'll come to me. I'm the card chairman for Grenada Camp. And I'll mail the card out for you. And it'll let them know where the card came from. There are different ones. Let's say that you have somebody that's graduating, you got a birthday, and you'd like to send some Bibles. Okay, there's a card for that in recognition, graduation, anniversary. Let's say you want to just tell your pastor, hey, I love you, pastor, and I'm thinking of you, and I'm going to send some Bibles around the world in your name. Okay, and now you're probably going to say, what difference does it make? Okay, how can I influence that? Okay, let me tell you. In Albania, which is over by Turkey, okay, there was a young girl named Faria. She heard the Gideons were coming. She hiked over the top of the mountain, climbed the steepy crevasses and peaks, and she made her way to where those Gideons were. When she saw the Gideon, she came down and she asked him, can I have one of those? He said, sure you can. So she sat down on the ground immediately. She began to read that Bible, and she accepted Jesus Christ right there. She took that New Testament, and she went back over the mountain again to her village. There, some of her little friends come running up to her, and she was excited about what had happened, about Jesus coming into her heart. And they, can we have one of those books? She says, well, I don't have any. All I have is one. So what she did was she took hers, and she tore out Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and she gave those to those four little girls. They accepted Jesus. They heard the Gideons were coming back. About 6 months later, they climbed back over the mountains again. See, the Gideons didn't have a car. They had to wait until they could save enough money to get a taxi to go back and pass out some more scriptures. Okay, and so those little girls came up, they gave them scriptures, they went back to their village. Now, that Albania is about 70% Muslim, and Protestant Christians are very, very few. There's Roman Catholicism, but the Protestants are few. So now we took those four little girls, now there's five of them, we gave them a New Testament, we turned them loose in their village. Now, what do you think they're going to be able to accomplish? Who knows what God can do with just five people on fire for Jesus? But that's how you can make an impact in the world, just by those Gideon cards out there against the wall. Welcome to Christ Community Church again. Okay, if you're a visitor here, I'd ask you if you would please fill out the visitor's card that's on the back of the seat where you're sitting. Drop that in the offering plate as it comes by. We would love to have a record of your attendance this morning. There are some things going on at the church. Make sure that you're making plans to come to Sunday school. Amy Cresswell is starting a new class next Sunday morning. Let me find the name of it here. It's Discipleship, Encouraging Disciples. That's going to be in room 6. So that will be the first Sunday they're going to be meeting there. LG has a class that started. This is the second week of his. It's walking in the light. God has a plan for your life. And he's a wonderful teacher, so there's no reason not to come to Sunday school. There's nothing on TV at that time. Those extra few minutes of sleep are not really going to make a difference, because if you come to Sunday school, God can change your life. Mark January 31st on your calendar. There's a 101 membership class. That's the class that folks that want to join the church attend that class, and they gain information about what the church is, how it operates, and things like that. And also, that same Sunday is the fifth Sunday of the month, we're going to be having the Lord's Supper that day. That one-on-one membership class is going to be immediately following the church service. Don't forget about the... there's a women's overnight retreat, I think it is. You can see Sarah Goldwater about information about that. I think that's all the bulletins. If anybody has anything else, I don't see any hands. I think that's it. Okay, thank you.
Don't run off with my Bible. He's going to steal my Bible. He's going to change the whole sermon. Because y'all's preacher is not smart enough to preach anything but the Bible. And yet he is too smart to preach anything but the Bible. So you just got to live with that. Hey, so glad that you're here. Thank you, Johnny, for getting us the bulletin done. Thank you. So good to see some of our friends and family and guests and have everybody here. It's so good. We're going to worship the Lord together. And I just want to invite you before I pray. After the band leads us in that first song, they're going to take a pause for you to shake somebody's hand, hug somebody's neck, tell them that you love them, tell them that you're glad to see them. Do all those things that you can just do right now when we're all gathered together. You see what I'm saying? We're going to take advantage of that time. So after they're done with the first song, you all greet one another. Amen? Y'all got it? Did y'all wake up yet this morning? Somebody throw coffee on these people. Golly. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this time. And Father, as we worship you and as we come together in the name of Jesus Christ, we do it to honor you. We do it because you're awesome, because you're worthy of every praise. Your word is worthy of all proclamation throughout the whole earth. We're just privileged to be able to get it right here where we are. We love you, Lord. Bless us, be with us, and help us to honor you in our heart. We love you, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. This morning's been just a little bit different for us, and I hate to draw attention to Kim. Everybody see Kim sitting back there?
Right there in the back.
All right. We're all going, when you pray, just remember Kim in prayer. She's had a few health problems this morning. We came with a certain set list, and we had something to do, and she started having some heart trouble. She is doing better, but she is sitting out this morning. We want to remember her in prayer. With that being said, we started over with our set list this morning. So I want you all to stand and sing this first song with us. If you listen to Christian radio, you probably know it. This is brand new. We worked this up in the last hour. So y'all stand up, sing with us.
And Kim's looking like, oh my word.
Like a river within me, thoughts to express are so many. Wanna bless you, God. Can't be silent. I think of the mercies you show me. My lips begin overflowing.
Gave me
Take just a moment, welcome someone that's standing next to you, hug a neck. We'll start again in just a moment.
Transgressions, crushed for our sins. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds, we are healed. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, by his wounds we are healed. We are healed by your sacrifice and the life that you gave. The price. By your grace we are saved. We are saved. He was pierced for our transgressions and crushed for our sins. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. By his wounds, by his wounds, we are healed. We are healed by your sacrifice in the life that you gave. We are healed, for you paid the price. By your grace we are saved. We are saved. For our transgressions and crushed for our sins. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, by his wounds, we are healed. And by his wounds, his wounds, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Amen. So before we begin the last song, I was talking with John this morning. He said he was preaching about grace this morning. So I know everybody knows this, so just really quickly, we're going to go through a verse of Amazing Grace. How about that, okay?
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. 'Twas blind, but now I see.
I am so thankful that I see. Aren't you? Amen. This last song is the heart of worship, and the words to this song are just beautiful. Because no matter how skillfully we play or how skillfully we sing or if we don't, it's not what it's about. It's about worshiping God, worshiping our Savior, Jesus Christ.
When the music fades and all is stripped away, and will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it when it's all.
I just thank you for the opportunity to be in your house this morning to worship. I thank you for every single person that you've brought into this house this morning. And God, I just pray that you would, through John's message, bring us what we need to hear. Let it speak to our hearts. And I just pray for him as he comes to bring the message in Christ's name.
Amen. Amen. Woo! Isn't it just good to be together and sing songs to God and about God and with each other? Isn't that good? Is that good to y'all? It's good to me. Man, there's more people on that row now. Jimmy, Trey, that's good to see you all, man. Woo! We got some, it's good to have a full house, too. And it's always good to have friends and family. And right now, we're ready for our kiddos. Mr. Bill, we ready for our kiddos? All right, you ready? Ready? Break. We're going to walk, though. And we're going to wave. And Daddy's going to get a hug. Thank you, baby. If you felt like you were too cramped and you want to spread out, there's a little more room now. You can do that. Y'all, let's like being close to each other. That's what I like. We're going to show two pictures from the Word of God that what I hope will demonstrate that you can trust the grace of God in your life. Okay, we're going to show two pictures from the Old Testament. If you have your handout, it's there. The one picture is going to be in Genesis chapter 3, and the next one's going to be in the book of Zechariah chapter 3. And what I hope by showing you these pictures is that by the end that you'll say, you know what? That's what I needed to hear. I needed to know that the grace of God is greater than my sin. I needed to know that God is not just trying to slap me down, but He is interested in my welfare, my well-being, that He wants to have a relationship with me, and that He already knows I've messed up. And that doesn't turn Him off to me. Because y'all, even in Grenada, where there's so much preaching and there's so many churches, the message of grace doesn't seem to have gotten out as strongly as the message of religion and religiosity and a strictness that comes to try to bind people and make them morally, just morally good people. If y'all just be morally good people. You know, when Jesus was on this earth, He walked around the Pharisees. You wouldn't have found a more morally good people than that, but He didn't seem satisfied in their fellowship. He would have saved every single one of them if they turned to Him. Because He's open to everybody. But you and I need to know the grace of God is strong. And they say a picture is worth 1,000 words, so I'm going to try to paint a picture, okay? Let me just pray for us, and then we're going to get started. Father God, thank You for how You love us. Thank You for this day. Thank You for the opportunity to put on display Your grace. We sang about it. We said it is amazing. We said it can make the lost to be found, the blind to be seen, the wretched to become saved. And so, Father, I pray that right now You do that work. You do that work in building Your reputation, building Your power and Your greatness and Your grace in us, in our heart, that we might always be convinced that You, God, are awesome and Your grace is amazing. We love You and we pray in Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to talk about people who got caught in the middle of their sin. They just got caught red-handed. Because if we're going to talk about grace, we got to be real about sin. Okay? Because a grace that can't face down sin is really no grace at all. Mercy that's not forgiving somebody really is not merciful at all. It's like saying you're patient, but you don't have anybody bothering you. Isn't everybody patient when things are going your way? I'm the most patient person in the world with my children as long as they listen to me, as long as they behave. As long as they go where I say go, and they shut up when I say shut up, and all those things. But when they do not, that's when we find out whether Daddy has any patience or not, or Mama is patient or not. Let me tell you, is God gracious? We're going to show two pictures here. I'm going to read the account in Genesis chapter 3. I'm just going to read that whole account because it's the Word and it's good for us. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said to you, 'You shall not eat of every tree of the garden'?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, 'You shall not eat of it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.'" Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was desirable or pleasant to the eyes, and that it was desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and she ate it. She also gave to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. Then they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord called out to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you you were naked? have you eaten of the tree which I commanded that you should not eat? And the man said, it was the woman whom you gave me. She gave me of the tree and I ate. And the Lord said to the woman, what is this you have done? The woman said, it was the serpent. It deceived me and I ate. So the Lord said to the serpent, because you've done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. And on your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust and all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. And he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. To the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he will rule over you. And then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth to you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all the living. And also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics and of skin, and he clothed them. Father, we've heard your word now. Be with us. And we love you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I can't help but see a picture here. So Adam and Eve are in the garden. They're told specifically, don't eat of that one tree. Which you can kind of almost, you sense a little bit of a setup there. You know, if anybody has children, you're like, look, whatever you do, don't eat the candy in the red dish. And the red dish like multiplies by 100 times. You know, and think about how we train our kids, by the way. Don't you go drinking, and don't you go doing this, and don't you go doing this. And all it does is go, when we ought to say, hey, we might want to take a different tact. But anyways, that's a different sermon. In this sermon, what we see is, these people purposely go against what God told them to do. We caught them right in the midst of their sin. That's why this is a perfect example, a perfect picture of God's grace. What's God going to do? First, let's look at what the people did. Because I want you to notice this. On the side of the people, there is no merit. There is no benefit. There is no wisdom. There is barely any intelligence. Adam and Eve are basically just breathing right now. They just aren't even thinking, because this is what they decided to do. First, they eat of the fruit, and they look at each other, and they go, oh, we're naked. There's going to be a lot of naked talk, so just bear with this, okay? We're naked. What are we going to do? So they decided that they were going to sew fig leaves. This is the first thing they did. They made clothes out of fig leaves. Now, listen, if you just discovered you're naked and you were going to cover yourselves, you cover the most embarrassing or the most private parts first, right? I mean, they didn't make gloves and boots out of fig leaves, you don't reckon. We're naked. Cover your hands. Cover your feet. Why don't you have something on your head? You're naked. No, so they're covering the more tender parts of us, okay? Have you ever felt a fig leaf? Can I tell you that fig leaves would make really itchy underwear? The first thing they decided to do was they're going to make some clothes on their own to try to cover up their problem. And what I want you to realize, if you've never realized it before, then amen, this could be your day to have this great awakening that says, no matter what you do to cover your sin, it's going to be foolish in the light of God. Fig leaves are always going to be itchy underwear, no matter what century you make them in. When you try to cover your own sin with clothing, it's just going to be bad news. You got me? It just don't work that way. It's just not going to happen. The next thing they did was they hid in the garden behind trees. Did you all know that the all-powerful, all-knowing God is baffled by trees in the wilderness? For some reason or another, he can see across galaxies and universes to every star that's ever been created, but trees blind him. No, that's not true. That's not true. And Adam and Eve knew that. Adam and Eve knew God was the creator, and yet they were like this. Maybe he can't see us. Is he out there? I don't know. Keep hiding behind the tree. It's like kryptonite to him. It blocks his powers. He can't see through the trees of the garden. Oh, here he comes! Come on, man. This is how weird and silly it is. Yeah, and I mean, I know that was silly for me just to do that, but I want you to imagine hiding from God behind a tree. It just doesn't work. I need you to understand that it don't work. Our self-efforts, either to cover our sin or to avoid God, will all come to failure. Every time. It's just not, it just don't happen. It won't ever work. So God finds them. Miraculously, how did he find them in the midst of the garden behind the tree? I don't know. It just worked out that way. He's lucky, I guess. And he confronts them with their sin. Now, we're going to find this in both pictures. We got the people of God. They're a representative. This is the representatives of the whole human race. You and I have Adam and Eve to thank for our own sin problems. It was passed down. It was not a part of original creation. It was passed down as a special gift from your family all the way back down to Adam and Eve, okay? And so they're representatives of the whole human race. And guess who is the only one standing with them when God confronts them? We see in verses 14 through 19 as God talks to them. Who's he talking to? He talks to Adam and Eve, and who else is with them? The serpent. Can I tell you something? When you look around and the only one that's on your side is the serpent, is Satan, is the devil, that's bad news. That's just bad trouble, okay? But I want you to notice, this is how bad it's getting. Adam says, it was the woman you gave me. Eve says, it was the serpent. The serpent just went. When the serpent's the only one just keeping his mouth shut, but he's standing on the same side you are, or you're standing on the same side he is, you've been caught. Red-handed, just your whole world just blew up. Everything's just bad, bad. Now, I want you to see what God does, because this is amazing to me. First, he lays down the consequences. There are consequences of what happened. I don't care who you are, what you do, and all this stuff. We think somehow grace removes every single consequence of anything that ever happened, and it doesn't. Grace is about our relationship between us and God. Will God still hang out with Adam and Eve, even though they're on the side of the devil? They listened to him. They wanted to be like God. Eve is even declaring things good, which that doesn't sound like a big deal, but when you're in Genesis 3 and in Genesis 1 and 2, all you hear is God declaring the value of things good. And it was good, and it was good, and it was good, and it was very good, and it's not good that man dwells alone, and all of a sudden you have Eve already thinking she's a little bit godlike, saying it was good. And you go, ooh, you kind of shudder a little bit. Is God going to ever walk in the garden with them again? Is God going to have anything to do with them? Is God going to hear their prayer? Is God going to bless their... What's God going to do with these people? Will he just kill them and start over? Can I tell you the word for creation we see again? Because in chapter 2 it says God rested from his creation. He rested from his work. On the seventh day he rested. I want you to notice what it says in verse 21. Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made something. He's back to work. This time the work is not to create the heavens and the earth. It's not to create the street creatures and the whales and all this magnificent creation. This time the work is about salvation. This time the work is about redemption, bringing them back. God tips his hat and says, I caught you in the midst of sin, on the side of Satan, and yet I'm going to take those fig leaves, not that you'll be naked, but because I have a better covering for you. One that came through a blood sacrifice. One that's not going to be itchy. One that's really going to cover you. Because I still love you. And I'm not going to leave you. And I'm dedicated to being God to you and a father. And I'm dedicated to you being my children and my people. And I'm going to work a tremendous work through you. God didn't give up on these people. Now they had to leave the garden. They had to endure some pain. They have to. Anybody here work outside? Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Adam, right? From the sweat of your brow, you're going to work. And that's how you're going to have to eat. You're going to have to toil. And you're going to have to strive. And it's not going to be easy. But I will still be your God. That is grace. That's a wonderful picture of grace. Let's jump over to the other picture in the book of Zechariah. I've been preaching from these pages that nobody ever goes to. Go to the book of Matthew and turn left twice. It's part of those pages that fingerprint has nigh never defiled. Do you know what I'm saying? Sunlight does not hit these pages. They're pristine in their condition. Everybody's yearly Bible reading plan conks out before they get to the minor prophets. I was reading the Bible through in a year, but February whopped me. You know, anyways, I just stopped. You just never got to Zechariah, right? It's like the whole Old Testament. Let me read this and show you this picture, very similar picture. Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him. And the Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire?" Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and was standing before the angel. Then he answered and spoke to those who stood before him, saying, "Take away the filthy garments from him." And to him he said, "See, I've removed your iniquity from you, and I will clothe you with rich robes." And I said, "Let them put a clean turban on his head." So they put a clean turban on his head, and they put the clothes on him, and the angel of the Lord stood by. We get a similar picture. Somebody caught red-handed in their sin. In this case, it's Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, the representative of the people of Israel, the representative of the specially chosen people of God, a representative of the redeemed, because it was Israel who was redeemed from Egypt to be a special people for God. This is going to be very close, and I hope you all hear me getting close on this. Is like the church in that sense. People who have been called out to show in their life what it means to know God and to walk with God and to worship God. That was Joshua's job. He was the high priest. He was supposed to exemplify godliness. And what do we find? Who do we find on his side? There was only one person on his side. Do you remember who it was when I said, who was it? It says, Satan. I saw Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord and Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him. What did we say about that already? That's not a good sign, is it? Who's the only one at his right hand? Oh, hi. Satan. Not good. This is not who I want if I was going to pick a team. And I thought, you know, I'm going to go into the temple to do my ministry. I'm going to be standing before the Lord and the angel of the Lord. Who do I want to bring in there with me? Oh, not Satan. Anybody but Satan. And what was Satan there doing? It says he was opposing him. This is where we get the real word for Satan. If you didn't know what that means, you need to know. What it means is adversary. It means the one who is opposing you, opposing God's plan. He's against you. He's against me. In the garden, he didn't so much look like Satan, the adversary. He looked like the devil, which means deceiver. So in the garden, they were standing there with the deceiver. Here, they're standing there with the adversary. It just so happens to be the same person, and you never want him on your side. Okay? So, what was he dressed in? He didn't have fig leaves covering himself. It says his garments were filthy. This is the strongest word in the Hebrew language for filthy. And most commentators believe it's a reference to excrement. He was covered in fecal waste. That's what it appeared to be. His deeds, his sin to God reeked. His sin was so apparent. Can you imagine? Have you ever stepped in the dog's business? And then you get into your house and you didn't know you stepped in it. What alerts you? You smell that? something's not right. And all of a sudden you start the exploration. Your wife's like, get off my carpet. You're like, oh, I forgot I was inside. His life stunk. This isn't about physical clothes, by the way, especially not when we get into this picture, because it's talking about his iniquity. It's talking about his sin before God and who is right there next to him pointing out the sinfulness of the people of God. Look, they don't read your word. They don't care about you. They're not on your mission. Even if they show up to church, it's just to be seen and to cross off some list because they're religious people. They draw near to you with their lips, but they're far from you in their heart. And he starts accusing and opposing and being an adversary and heaping accusations. And you know what happened? They all stick. Boop, 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 boop. It's like, and so here's the representative of God's people going, saying, he don't say anything. He's guilty. He's filthy. He's in the presence of God, and at his right hand is Satan, and he has no defense. Do you see that? Just like Adam and Eve. What was Adam and Eve? They tried to blame each other. It was her. It was them. It was somebody. I don't even remember being there. What was that again? An apple? I don't know. We were just hiding in the trees. That's all. And it didn't work. What's the high priest going to say? He's caught. He's standing before God, filthy, dirty. He has no hope to cover it up. Even if he could physically cover it up, it would still stink. What does he need? Based on the other picture I showed you, what does this guy need? You can answer back. It's okay. What does he need? A bath. He needs a change of clothes, doesn't he? He needs God to do something, doesn't he? Again, I'm not talking about physical clothes. He needs grace. He needs someone. He needs not even someone. He needs one someone. He needs God to do something on behalf of him. And let me just read this story because it's so brilliant. The picture is so detailed. Verse 4. Then he answered and spoke to those who stood behind him or around him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. Not so he'll be naked. Take those filthy garments away. And then it finishes, see, I have removed your iniquity. Not talking about clothing. And he says, and I've clothed you with rich robes. I've taken away the filthiness of your sin, and I'm giving you a righteousness that you did not earn that comes by grace through faith. That's exactly what he's picturing here. That is the gospel. Y'all, can I tell you? Sin, when it's red-handed, when God catches you right in the midst of it, and no one will stand with you but Satan, God's grace is still greater than all your sin and my sin. Amen? Isn't that something right there? And this guy is supposed to be the guy. He's the high priest. You know, a lot of people think pastors are supposed to be holier than everybody else. And that's only because you don't know any. Come learn from me. I'm a sinner saved by grace, who God called to stand up and lift up the word. That's who I am. Okay? All of us are called. If you've been saved by God, you are a representative of the body of Christ. You are a part of the bride of Christ. You are a part of the family of God. You are a sheep in the flock of God. Don't you go for a second thinking representing what Christ has done in your life is reserved to some big guy in a whatever I'm wearing, clothes that's standing in front of you on church on Sunday, because it's not my job, it's our job. And we got to know something. No matter how bad you've messed up, no matter how far afield and how far off the reservation you've gone, the grace of God is waiting for you because Christ loves you, and then what he's done is take away your sin and giving you righteousness. He's taken away the filthy, stinky, rotten iniquity in your heart, in your mind, on your hands, that you speak. When you speak with sinful intent, And he says, I still love you. You're still my people. I'm never giving up on redeeming you. I'm never giving up on bringing you into fellowship with me. I will always be there. That's exactly what these pictures show us. Now I want us to jump to the New Testament, because the New Testament just squarely lays it out, not in picture, but in word. In 2 Corinthians in chapter 5, verses 20 and 21. It says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Do you hear that grace exchange right there? Jesus took on our sin. That's what he did. He took it away. Thank God for what he took away. Can I have anybody who would just say, thank you, God, for what you took away from me? Anybody, go ahead. Thank you, God. In that picture, it says he took away the filthy garments. We know he takes away the figs, and he provides something better. When you think of how God has provided his salvation, his mercy takes away the sin, and he puts it on Christ. The punishment you and I deserved got put on Jesus Christ. The sin that you and I committed, that we enjoyed, it got put on Christ. When you indulged yourself, he paid the price. That's the mercy of God. Then, in an amazing step of grace, he didn't just take care of the penalty, but he brings out the robes of sonship and daughtership. He brings out the rings of family. He put sandals on your feet. He put the robe on you, and he hugged your neck, and he kissed you, and he said, oh, my child, you were dead, but now you're back. You were lost, but now you're found, and I'm so glad. That's the grace exchange that God wants to work out in your life and in my life right now. You might be waiting for later, but can I tell you, God wants to do it right now in your life. Right now. I don't know where you might be saying, John, I'm secure in my salvation. And I want to tell you, right now, give him a thank offering. Give him a praise offering and say, thank you, God, that I've heard now from your word. I've seen the pictures. I've heard how great your grace is. And I just want to say thank you. If you're here today and you're a child of God and you've wandered, oh, prone to wander. My heart is prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. There's a song that goes like that. Now, here's my heart. Take and seal it. Maybe you need to say that. Maybe you need to be saying, God, I'm caught red-handed. I know I'm a child of God. I'm supposed to be an example of grace. I'm supposed to be a witness to the gospel. I'm supposed to be growing in my sanctification, but I've been far away, and I don't want to be, and I'm going to trust your grace. Not that you got potential. See, we always think God has interested us like an agent is interested in a movie star or a great athlete. You got potential, kid, and I want you on my team, you know? You know what I'm saying? That's my New York accent. It's the best I can do. You know what I'm saying, kid? I want you on my team. Come on now, kid. Come on. Come on with me. You can do good. And we're like trying to get our resume ready. Well, God, you know, if I come back, maybe I could be a Sunday school teacher, and I could tithe, and I could do this, and I got potential, God. Really, I got... Like, you're selling yourself to God. Can I tell you, he's not buying. He's not interested in your resume. He just flat out loves you, and he'll take you just like you are. Amen. Did you hear that? Isn't that good? You don't got to work yourself up to it like, ooh, I'll do so much better this year. I promise. Your promise don't mean nothing. How many promises have you broken? God knows every single one. Stop lying to God. Stop deceiving yourself and throw yourself on the mercy of his grace and say, I'm just coming back to be a child. Not worthy, but forgiven. No righteousness of my own to proclaim, just your royal robes to wear because you're gracious and kind. Maybe that's you. And maybe there's somebody here who's never acknowledged God. Satan ain't standing beside you, accusing you. You're standing behind him, following him straight to hell. Maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you need to know, how will God treat a rebel? How will God treat someone who's been hostile to him? Someone who has flat out been unreachable and untouchable, and somehow you're here this morning and you're hearing this. Can I tell you how God will treat you? He will treat you with grace. He will exchange your rebellion. He'll exchange who you belong to. He'll change your name. Jesus said, if you do the works of Satan, he's your father. Can I tell you, he'll change your name. He'll take you out of that family and put you into his family. He'll take you out of that kingdom and he'll put you into his kingdom. He'll take you out of his darkness and he'll put you into his light. Do you understand? That's how God will treat you. You come on. Whatever business you have to do with God today, you come on. If you needed me to pray for you, I'll be here. But you come on up here and pray. Or you sit there and pray. Or you go home and pray. But pray and do your business with God. Do y'all get me? Say yeah if you get me. You get me? Lord God, Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for the wonderful pictures of grace that are in your word that are so compelling. It was so compelling to me, Lord, when I looked at this, that I can have full confidence in you. Father, help us to have full confidence in who you are and what you've done. You gave Christ to take away our sin and to give us your righteousness. And now we can stand in that righteousness, not earned by us, but given by God. And you don't take away, not your righteousness. You don't take away. You don't divorce your family. You don't abandon your sheep. You don't turn back your children. Thank you, Father, for your amazing, amazing grace. Now help us, Lord, to respond to you in Jesus' name. Amen. They're going to sing a song, and while they do, this is your time. Y'all, this is Jeffrey. And he's had people in his life who loved him. And including a good friend of mine who's with the Lord, his granddad, Donnie Bain. And Jeffrey just came and confessed that he hadn't been walking right. And he just wants to return to the grace of God, and he rededicated his life to Christ today. Amen. Amen. Well, that's just thank you, God. God is good.
Yes.
God is good. We're going to take up our offering, and I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward. And as I do, I'm going to pray for us. Father God, what can we offer in return for what you've given? The answer is just our all, our everything, our heart, our life. Even though it falls short, you're gracious in receiving. And so, Father, as we give just this material, Father, I pray that you'd bless us and remind us that we are yours. We are yours. And that doesn't change in your book. We love you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him. In his presence daily live. And
couple things real quick, and I mentioned, you know, Jeffrey's family, and he has Miss Janet here, and he has his Mama Julie here, and he has family here, and so would y'all just, y'all come and hug his neck. He's a big fella, might have to stand on your tiptoes, but you know, hug his neck, shake his hand, do something, let him know that you're going to pray for him. God receives us graciously, doesn't always make the return home easy, so you need to pray. And we need to pray for them and all these things, right? And also, in your bulletin, you may have an information sheet. It says information for the directory. Would you fill that out? If you don't have time to stay today, fill it out and stay today and turn it in, that's fine. Bring it back with you when you come. But if you could, fill it out. There's a table. Right when you're leaving out the door, there's a table where bulletins and stuff are. You'll see it right to the left of the front doors. Would you just set it on that table? And don't put no secret stuff on there. Don't give no bank account numbers or anything like that. Those you put directly into my office. And, But just put it on the back, and we're going to make a directory. So know that we're going to make a directory, which means we want to publish to people to, you know, so we could all get a hold of each other. So put whatever number you want to people to get a hold of, and don't put whatever number you don't want people to get a hold of, okay? You got me? All right, I think that's all. Come on back. Wednesday we have church at 6:30. We have Sunday school at 9:30. And just so glad to see what God's doing. Let me pray for us. Let me tell you first that I love you, though. I do love you, and I thank you for letting me be your pastor. Father God, as we go from here, would you just continue to bless us? Would you continue to move? Remind us of your grace and your graciousness. And Father, even if we have to endure the hardship of returning, even if we have to repent, like I'm sure Joshua the high priest did, I'm sure Adam and Eve did, as they moved out of the Garden of Eden, they were repentive, but wow, they were dressed in what you gave them to wear as a sign that you indeed accepted their relationship on your terms, and you are going to be their God, their Savior, their Lord, and the same is true with us. We love you, and we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Ready? Break.